Hi, I'm Brett Johnson, former United States Most Wanted cyber criminal, now good guy, and host of The Brett Johnson Show. Today's episode is episode number 85. I sit down, I talk to Andrew Hayden. Well, who is Andrew Hayden? Well, Andrew is an absolutely remarkable, outstanding human being. He's one of my Twitter followers. He reached out to me a few weeks ago, sent me a few messages, and one of the messages mentioned how a lot of these sneaker resale stores and websites are actually money laundering fronts for organized crime. Well, he said that. It clicked with me, and I was like, of course they are. And I was like, hey, would you like to come on the show and talk about that? And he was like, absolutely. And I'm like, well, shit, this is going to be one hell of a show. So Andrew came on, and full disclosure, we did not get to dive into that topic because there were all these other things that really popped up. We mentioned it briefly, but we didn't dive into it, so we're going to dive into that on a later episode. This episode, Andrew has been programming for a large part of his life. He's worked with a lot of AI companies. He's building a lot of different AI-type products right now. We discuss things like bots, how bots actually work on those websites. And no, it is not a boring discussion for those who may not be interested in that type of thing. But we talk about why you can't get Taylor Swift tickets, why you can't go to Nike or Adidas websites and buy those shoes that you want, why you have to get them on aftermarket for these high markup type prices. We talk about things like that. We talk about how AI is actually working, what it's going to evolve into, if criminals are using it, and when they do finally get to use it, how that's actually going to affect things, how that's going to look, how it's going to operate. It's an outstanding conversation that we have. So without further ado, I'm going to have Andrew's bio in the show notes for anyone who is interested. But Andrew, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Without further ado, let's talk to Andrew Hayden.
You got me?
I got you. How are you?
All right. Hi, I'm great. I was just, I bought a couple things at the Apple store. It took 90 minutes on the phone with Goldman Sachs to get them to unlock my card. You know, everything they know about me. Everything they know about me. They know I drove there on my Apple. They got my Apple card on my Apple iPhone. You know?
90 minutes.
Yeah, you know, it's like even when you have the chain of trust, these fraud systems still false positive. That's one of the worst things today, I think, is that the models assume like everyone acts super consistently,
right?
Like, particularly for, you know, independent contractors, you know, I work in seasons of sort, you know what I mean? So yeah, anyway, I'm,
well, Andrew, what work do you do? I mean, obviously, yeah, you know, fraud. So what work do you do?
So I started, I got into the sneaker bot industry in 2020.
Okay.
I did that for a year. I did that for the first year of the lockdown, essentially.
Right.
And then, you know, made the LLC, brought in $1 million. And then I sort of was like, okay, milestone, take a step back. What the fuck just happened? You know, so I started to kind of like look at the logs and stuff. And
yeah,
you know, I think every credit card form in that's on the internet or in a piece of software just inevitably gets stuffed
right
with cards. Now most of my customers legit, they're using their own cards, you know what I mean? They use virtual credit cards with synthetic identities,
right,
but that seems to be deemed, you know, okay if you're using your own cards.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's okay, but at least there's not much consequence.
There's not much. We'll talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot the last couple of weeks, because I, you know, I've had a lot of people come to me, trying to buy Taylor Swift tickets.
Of course.
And so my friends run one of these virtual credit card providers called Slash App.
Okay.
And, I wanted to know how their business is doing because they have a purview over sort of this entire thing, like of all, and it's, you know, it's debit only, you know, they have real good. It was invite only up until somewhat recently, you know, they have 8,000 customers that use their stuff every month. But, you know, right now they told me they have individual customers. They have individual customers with their bank moving tens to hundreds of millions a year at Ticketmaster. And
Ticketmaster literally, you know, doesn't give a damn.
They don't give a fuck. They wine and dine these people.
Right.
They wine and dine the biggest, you know, and now these people aren't using bots. They actually have call centers overseas running Google Chrome with a proxy. It's the United States.
Okay.
And so like a lot of the, you know, they're making so much money that they, even at that scale, the human overhead is still, it's part of their system.
Right. Right. So let me ask you, man, and this is,
yeah,
as you probably know, I do some consulting with some law enforcement agencies. And they had mentioned to me in the past, they wanted me to look at this group called Malice.
I know those guys. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not close to them, but I know of them. Yeah.
Right. And a lot of what you're talking about with the virtual cards, synthetic identities, the bots that are running, everything like that. That's what Malice does. You know, as far as we could tell, nothing illegal was happening there. There was some potentially fraudulent advice that was being handed out, but other than that, nothing that's really prosecutable, you know? Now you were building the bots for this or not?
I built a bot called Rush AIO. I was contracted by a couple people that own one of these Discord servers called the Site Supply. If you look that up, they've got maybe north of 500,000 followers already. Shoe focused. The guys that started it started reselling shoes in middle school. They found me in 2020, showed me the sneaker bot industry. I was working on self-driving cars at the time.
Okay.
But I, you know, wasn't getting paid very much. And they showed me, here's competition, here's what they do. And I'm like, yeah, I can write this in like 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, so it just kind of did that. Now it's the maintenance that's really expensive with these bots, because they're all, you know, it's hand coded. So the main reason I stopped doing it is because I saw another way to do it. And that's what I've been gearing up towards the last few years. More of like an AI thing, you know, more like self-driving cars, but like, you know, the computer kind of using itself, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And my work, what I'm working up towards is, I'm going to release a bot for the Apple Vision Pro, which is the most anticipated resale events of the decade. It's going to be an unlimited supply, and I'm hoping to get as many consumers as possible. Because what I'm, you know, and the problem is that humans don't have a chance right now.
Right. Right.
For the most hyped items, you know?
I mean, you're not going to get those Taylor Swift tickets by signing on to Ticketmaster.
Yeah. And so I think that there's a huge, huge opportunity for sort of a mass consumer focused software product that focuses less on serving high phone. When I ran the sneaker bot, you know, I'd wake up, guys like, hey, I want to spend $500,000 today.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want more customers that are like, I just want the Apple Vision Pro. And then I'll make software that appropriately, you know, I never did exploits or what are otherwise called bypasses.
Right.
I always would exactly simulate human behavior, because I've run, you know, retail sites before. You know, I've hosted a lot of websites and web services. And so I know how to be kind to a website. So a lot of these bots, you know, like, you know, when a sneaker releases or PS5 releases the Apple Vision Pro, you know, it looks like a crazy cyber attack, right?
Right.
And it's going to, even if it was just humans, it would kind of look like that. But the bots kind of amplify it. So I think I have an acceptable sort of architecture, both technically as well as legally. Even if the law that's currently pending is signed into law, they have a Grinch Bot Act, which is basically the Ticket Bot Act copy and pasted.
But there's only been like one or two prosecutions for that.
Yeah, but they only went after a eight figure reseller. And I know for a fact that there are much bigger fish that, you know, are eating good this year, you know? It's kind of crazy. Yeah.
You know, my thing is I honestly cannot blame consumers or these groups that use bots to get their PlayStation 5s, to get the tickets, to get the Apple Vision when it comes out. I can't blame them, because I'm of the opinion that you use the products that are at hand, as long as they're not illegal, it should be fair game. Yeah. Now, I do blame companies like Ticketmaster and Nike and all these other companies that don't seem to be mitigating the problem very well.
Yeah. They don't care. They get paid either way. And like, and it's a broken business model. So if they wanted, you know, there's an opportunity that until their business model changes to be somewhat like dynamic pricing or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which they kind of like it, because when the item gets more pressed, you know, when it resells. I don't know how their finance people kind of model this stuff, but I'd be interested to see. Right. You know, like they can't have not thought about it already. I don't know. There's a lot of people do a lot of dumb things, but you know that I think that the concept of a fixed retail price is probably here to stay, you know.
Right.
And next year, American people will make more money off the Apple Vision Pro next year than Apple makes.
I mean, that now that's something to consider.
Yeah. So that's, you know, what I'm kind of, because I'm like, dang, like I can sell like a, you know, maybe I'm going to release a product where it's $1,000.
Right.
And if you don't get one, I'll give you a refund. That kind of thing. You know what I mean? and then you have all these gambling addicts today. They just throw $1,000 at a monkey coin. So
you pay $1,000 for this. The Apple Vision is what, 2,700, 3,000, something like that?
Yeah, 3,500.
3,500.
It's going to be like a PS5, but twice as expensive.
Right.
Or seven times as expensive.
What do you think it's going to resell for aftermarket?
I think the first month, over 10 grand each.
That's what I'm thinking. I think. Easily.
And it's only sold in the U.S., so we're going to, you know, I'd love to talk more about international effects of all of this.
Right.
Reshippers that are used. There's a lot of crazy anecdotes I know, like Texas Instruments has a store. They sell chips, right, to, you know, people that build larger hardware products. TexasInstruments.com is like actively botted by Chinese companies that then like reship the chips back there so they can play with them. So like if you're an American startup and you need like some chip, you might be like, dang, like this one's really hard to get. Like it's always out of stock. You know, I even sign up for the notifications, and like you wouldn't know that. Like I know for a fact, I know like, you know, the guy that did the contract,
right?
You know, for the Chinese, like who are buying like, I'm talking millions of dollars through that site. You know, no. So I think, yeah, this is also somewhat of a, I don't know. There's also some element of international competition here.
Right. Right. And that's one of the things that I noticed on Malice. I was a member of that for several months, just, you know, lurking in, seeing how everything
cool
operated.
To walk through those,
it is. Yeah. It really is. And very, very tight knit community. Very knowledgeable on the products that were coming out. They have the, you know, the alert system on what you should buy, what you should resell it for, everything like that. And they talked a lot about that international market as well, where to get it, where to resell it, things like that. And I would love for you to talk more about how that actually works.
Yeah, I'm about 10 minutes out from my laptop's traffic.
Yes, sir.
I'm in San Francisco right now.
So how are things in San Fran today?
Weather's been great, you know.
That's good.
I went to the Apple store. I didn't go to the one downtown. The one down, you know, it's not that nice downtown right now. So I went, you know, further towards the water, towards the beach, by the ocean. Nice mall out there. Yeah, it's nice, you know.
Yeah, I like San Fran. I can't afford San Fran, but I like it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's crazy. You know what I mean? It's a lot of people pass through here. It's like an average. I grew up here. And I've seen it through all its changes.
Right.
It's dumb expensive, you know? So I think, but I know it very well. So, you know, when I do have the money to buy a house here, I know exactly where I want to buy.
Where?
Okay. San Rafael is a town north of San Francisco.
Okay.
That's where I'm from. And yeah, I just want to like buy, you know, my family, my folks are in their late 60s, early 70s.
Right.
Just want to buy them something. And then I like the Berkeley Hills a lot, right?
That's a nice area.
UC Berkeley.
It's a nice area.
I work from the library there a lot. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know. So yeah, it's very, it's located, very conveniently.
Right.
So yeah, I wouldn't buy in San Francisco. Not right.
I don't blame you. So what? All right. So you worked self-driving cars. You built a hell of a good bot. What's education?
Yeah.
What'd you go to school for?
I went to UC Davis for computer science for 2 years. But I got a job offer after 2 years. So I left school.
Okay.
And that was for the self-driving car company called Comma AI.
Okay.
Let's go. And, yeah, I'm actually pretty close by to where our office was right now. And that was I worked there 2017 through 2020. That was a real education. We're working with a practice out team, right? Learning a lot,
right,
about how things can be done. And in fact, you know, it's funny, they're still active. They're in San Diego now. They are, it's funny, they added navigation to the car recently. And the way it works is the AI that would normally just be looking at the road also now just looks at Waze, you know, looks at Google Maps.
Okay.
The screen. And so it's, you know, computers are able to perceive themselves visually.
Right.
And, you know, you can make AIs now that use the computer. And so this is the future of the bot. This is what really gets wild this decade, is like the internet, the like synthetic identities for like AI bots that, you know, just like ChatGPT, you can say, you know, it's like as if you could tell a ChatGPT to do something. I have a friend who works on an app called Chat with Annie or Talk to Annie. It's one of these like hot AI girlfriends things, but it's like for all purposes. You know what I mean? Like a general AI assistant. And like he's considering next year, you know, like it's on the critical path of a lot of different AI companies.
Nice.
Is interacting with the web. But we're going to see them start to encounter bot protection.
Right.
Start to, you know, like I'm seeing a lot of these companies, very well-funded companies, kind of flail with the sort of stuff that, you know, sneaker bot developers really figured out a long time ago.
Right, right.
The AI doesn't solve everything. There's, you know, it still has to run in a web browser. What browser do you use? You know, what kind of servers, that sort of thing. That's what I've been experimenting with for a number of years now. And so I think I'm still going to hand code this thing for Apple, but, you know, I need a big data center, a lot of GPUs.
So let me ask you, the use of AI. You know, I used to work for a bot mitigation company, Arcos. And so how does AI help bots get past one of these bot mitigation companies?
So a key part of establishing trust with an anti-bot system is simulating human input activity. So on a computer, that's mouse and keyboard. On a phone, that's touch and keyboard. Also things like potentially if you're in an app, that's accelerometer, you know, sort of like sensor data, input and sensor data. Really it's that I think that that's already pretty much a solved problem. Humans act chaotically enough on computers that it's not very difficult to, you don't even need AI necessarily. Mm-hmm. To make a model that passes all bot protections right now.
Right.
The more interesting thing is that the coding of the bots becomes more resilient. So like now, like all these bots that, you know, they don't operate in web browsers for the most part, but the best bot, you know, a bot protection company is good when the bots have to like pop open a browser or have you import cookies or something. It's shape security. F5 networks has the best shit right now.
Okay.
I know people that regularly bypass it. There's, in fact, a company called Tesla.io.
Called what? You broke up right as you were saying the name of it.
It's Teller, like bankteller.io.
Okay.
And what they have accomplished is quite significant. They've cracked Shape Security on mobile, as well as like other bot protections that banks use, although Shape Security managed to get a lot of the top contracts reliably, like,
okay,
and for years. So they have like, Chase account connections years long. Like long, you know, like they have like they've really designed an amazing system, 5G private 5G mobile proxy network, and it's a competitor to Plaid.
Okay.
So essentially, it allows you to like if you have a financial technology company, you can use them to link with banks, and it actually offers a really high level of reliability. So Teller.io is an example of like a legit company that has like bypassed bot protection, but for a product that actually ends up improving, like everyone's happy with it.
Right.
And they just did what they needed to do to provide the product. And like they, you know, I wonder if anyone's ever tried to like use their thing to credential stuff banks. I figure they have, you know, new account limits and stuff, but that was my first thought. I don't know. They're good. They're good though.
Okay.
They're good. And then as far as AI and bots, so you're gonna, it's more like right now, if I have a bot for, you know, say Nordstrom.com or any site that really has a bot protection provider at all, like the code that I write today that works today for that website has a half-life of maybe 2 to 4 weeks, which means that it's gonna probably stop working in the next 30 days.
Like, and that's because it's being used in mass at that point.
That could be a contributing factor that will accelerate it.
Okay.
Depending on the diversity of device fingerprints, you have to blend in with the crowd.
Right.
But it's actually more importantly just that the code on the site will change. And so it's the fact that the bots are currently all coupled to the exact code of the website.
Okay.
So we saw things in 2020, like Dick's Sporting Goods, when they would release a shoe, they would like edit their HTML to the page a little bit, or the JavaScript, and add like a cookie, like blue equals green or some crap. And it broke all the bots because it was like the dumbest thing. Like your bot protection, actually the smartest bot protection is the dumbest. It's the dumbest things.
Okay.
For these bots that don't use web browsers.
Gotcha.
Which are the really fast, high scale ones, you know, one machine, 10,000 humans, you know, kind of thing. Or synthetic identities.
Right.
So the AI makes it so then you can, we'll have bots that like just work in perpetuity. You know what I mean? So bots are going to start to interact a lot more with the internet. We're going to see synthetic identities start to be farmed in mass. So like, of course, like aged accounts been sold forever, but like, we're going to start to see really bespoke shit. We're going to start to see like, you know, people will be creating entire fake high schools to create identities that they're going to use 10 years in the future, and have these like networks of like, you know, like, you know, it's like you're growing like, you know, identities, because these are going to have the chain of trust.
Right.
So, and then, you know, so there's going to be like these literal farms.
That's really interesting what you just said about, you know, high schools for identities that will be used years down the road. I've said for years now that the longer that identity is there, the more legitimate it looks.
Yeah. And you know, that's the game, because unless your chain of trust starts with a in-person meeting, you really don't know who you're dealing with. That's it. I think that's like, it's checkmate. And so it's interesting that WorldCoin thing that, you know, they have a biometric scan, you show up in person, and now you have like a key pair associated with your eyes. It's like, it's an underrated concept as far as its importance for the future of bot protection. Now, I think that it's a little radical and it's not going to really like take off. I was just at the Apple store, right? And thinking about Apple as sort of the base of the chain of trust being inside the secure enclave of the modern iPhone chip.
Right.
So as if like, you know, you're never going to stop people making synthetic identity. You know, it's we're going to start to, things have to be backed by physical reality.
Right.
And so Apple has provided things. Apple has provided that backing for identities in the physical, you know, the bar of gold is the iPhone.
Right.
That makes sense.
It does.
And Apple's so rich. Apple's a bank, you know, they have like $300 billion or something.
Yeah.
In cash. So they're pretty well prepared with, like, you know, Apple Pay. And all this stuff now it needs to get better. I just spent 90 minutes at the Apple store that, you know, wasted.
Yeah.
Even though, if their fraud system was intelligent, and I think this stuff will get better, but like the thing is, consumers put up with a lot of crap right now. And the fraud problem is, I don't know. It's certainly there. It seems to be like, at least when I'm transacting with my cards, it's like once you get into four figures, like it's just phone calls. Yeah,
that's it.
It's just phone calls now, you know, unless, you know, and it's crazy. Even card present, you know, even like Apple Pay on my main phone, like it can get better. But all I know is there's a lot of fraud right now and they're having trouble.
I mean, there is a ton. there's no doubt. Well, it's all the damn fraudsters that came into the, you know, into the collective during COVID.
You know,
the government gave all the money away to any thief that wanted it. And after that dried up, they had to pivot to something. So,
yep. I mean, I've seen it with the shoe market's dead right now. The NFTs are dead.
Right.
You know, so it's like people got, people like, I'm addicted to easy money is kind of, even for the rich and the poor, a common American pathology today.
I like the background, dude.
I know, that's why I drove here.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all. So let me ask you, it's a heat index today in Birmingham, Alabama, 115 degrees. What's the temperature in wonderful San Fran?
My car reported 74.
I am so fucking jealous.
And,
right,
and it's a perfect cloud density. 50%, you know.
I am absolutely jealous of that. I'm literally in the house roasting right now.
You gotta get those new Mitsubishi ACs. They're good.
I'll do that. Maybe I can get a bot to get
me.
Really,
they're real efficient. Yeah. You know, it's funny. HVAC, yeah. Like it's one of the HVAC equipments. There's some stuff like, you know, I was like, can we find deals on lumber? You know, you know, it turns out that's, there's still some things that people, you know, HVAC contractors, they want someone to speak to over the phone.
Right. Right.
Old school's still there for the people that have real jobs.
For the people who have real. Exactly. I don't have a real job either. As you see,
no,
I don't
have a real job. No, yeah. This is.
So
you, on the internet's a joke. Huh?
It is. It absolutely is. So you had said the LLC with this bot that you built, $1 million.
Yep.
That's crazy,
nine months. Zero to a million. I think I can do it in like a month now. Like I think I actually now I'm confident that whenever I need $1 million, it's like 30 days for it. It's legit, you know, like legit.
I mean,
stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
So
there's always something, and the thing is, I scroll the internet for deals,
right?
And so the evolution of these groups like Malice, Site Supply, after these bubble markets die down, so the shoes and the NFTs,
right,
were the main ones. You know, they start. They're like, well, where's the alpha? Where is the profit? So there's actually a large cottage industry of like freebie bots now.
Right. Are they worth a damn?
Or they just do a lot of junk delivered to your door. So you put in your address in an Amazon account because it's based on Amazon promo codes. I never spent the time to look into exactly. I never like built one of these myself because all I know is they find junk. They find Chinese junk. You know, but there's like a promo code guesser for weird long strings of promo codes. So, you know, like 8-digit alphanumeric,
right?
You know, 36 to the 8th combination. So it's not like they're So it's not like they're, you know, brute forcing them. I don't know. There's some alpha there, and people right. do resell these things, but it's like the kind of stuff you take to the flea market, you know? It's like, right. this is a modern way for like tweakers to boost and support their
because I talked to a guy today, and he said, you know, drugs ain't free. And I was like, you're right. They're not. Those tweakers not. Need to pay for whatever they're getting in.
Yeah. And so, I mean, San Francisco, right, a few blocks away from where I am right now, there's like, or just this weekend, this at that place, there's a flea market, essentially impromptu street flea market. People have all sorts of personal care items right. laid out straight out of Walgreens. You know, you can buy them at 50%, you know what I mean? Or better. yeah, and so you could just have your little Walgreens pop-up shops.
As Walgreens are shutting down, you can get it on the corner.
And it's, yeah. not a, it's not a bad way for people to spend their Sunday in the sun.
Yeah, I guess so.
Enjoy a week blitzed out of their mind.
No, So
that's how it goes.
Here's the thing. These shoes, you know, when I worked with Arcos, of course, Nike's a client. A few other people Adidas is a client. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is the thing is, you know, you go to the sites without a bot, you go to the sites, you're not going to get the shoes that you're wanting. So you have to go to StockX to go to all these aftermarket places and try to find it. And typically you're paying out the wazoo at that point. And before we get into the stuff that you had sent me talking about on the direct messages, I understand that these retailers don't really give a damn. I get it, because they're selling the shoes regardless. It increases their brand across the spectrum, everything else. I get that. But what should these companies be doing to mitigate these issues?
I think they should partner with the absolute best, most dedicated anti-bot solutions available. It seems to be F5 Networks right now. There's no retail bot that you can purchase, like similar to Heha bots, KSR. These are just some names of
right.
active current bots that hit retail websites such as Target, Walmart, etc., shoe sites.
Right.
So I lost my train of thought. These bots cannot hit shape security at scale.
Okay.
That's all I know, is that they seem to have no problem with Perimeter X, Kame, et cetera.
Right.
Cloudflare, like solve right. problems. Right. They solve problems. Shape security is not a solved problem for scale. They're smart.
Right.
I did research on shape security in 2020. They catch on to patterns very fast. Online detection is what it's called.
Okay.
Where they have a very efficient data pipeline that's constantly taking in all of the new traffic and like analyzing it, classifying it, scoring it. And then there's some threshold of like a risk score that's, right. you know.
So that it really takes a solution like that.
Yeah. And it's smart.
Right.
It's smart. If any deviation from human will be detected, no matter whether it's at the network level
right.
or the behavioral level, or they're looking at the full stack. Now it's not that it's impossible to get across. It's all just bits over the wire. You just have right. to have the right bits.
Now, do you think that AI helps that happen?
Not yet, but it will. Like, you will not be able to stop an AI bot using a 5G proxy without degrading the user experience for normal humans.
Right. Right. And so going into, you know, and I got to say, I mean, I was impressed. I had not heard of Malice until I was asked to look at it. And I was impressed. I mean, beyond impressed. I was, you know, I was like, hey, you guys mind if I, you know, engage here a little bit? And I got the green light for that. So how much can you take somebody that, you know, has really no technical experience, and they want to start in the bot game, you know, buy the bots, pay the subscription for the service, what have you. What kind of profit potential are we looking at for an individual like that?
It all depends on the season you're in. So right now, not too much. And most newbies, even in the hot seasons, even when there's a hot item,
right,
such as PS5 or some hot new shoe, even in those times, humans still lose a lot of money. There's a lot of scams out there. There's a lot of resellers. Because it's a whole reseller industry, there are, say, for proxies, you've got big residential proxy networks that are the source. And then you have all these like resellers that kind of pop in here, and then like they're oftentimes selling the same IP to multiple people. So right. Then it becomes kind of like less worth it or flagged.
Are there any good proxy providers right now?
Huh?
Are there any good proxy providers right now or not?
I use 5G proxies for everything that I do. So I would say not, I would say like, yeah, there's always good proxy providers. I'd say for any like complex botting involving interaction, like checkout, 5G all the way. Okay. But for like crawling, yeah, I'll use like residential proxy networks that are cheaper. You know what okay. I mean? But I actually prefer to, I don't know. The public providers are all you're just mixed in with a lot of junk traffic. That's the thing, is like, I prefer to actually purchase IP blocks or be purchasing, you know, cellular plans, you know, directly from carriers, you know, to working with these public providers, because only in those situations can I know that the IPs are mine and like clean.
And that's
5G, they're special because they're not yours, but they're everyone's, and they're
right.
You know,
And the reason I was asking that, a few years ago, you know, LuxSox on the criminal side, LuxSox was the proxy provider. You didn't have to worry about them reselling proxies to other people countless times, anything else. It was a solid service for cybercrime. And LuxSox shut down. And when it shut down, it affected the cybercrime community substantially. I mean, at that point, it was very difficult to find a good provider if you were doing carding, if you were doing synthetic fraud, anything else like that. So you saw a huge shift from looking for proxies to going the route of cellular at that point. Yeah. And you saw the cellular fraud boost up substantially at that point. And that's what I was wondering about on the bot market side. If that same experience had happened, if the problem with proxies was such that it was creating that type of issue.
I've always known that 5G proxies are the end game for many years. Like, that's where it's going. Like, it's just going to be more expensive.
Right.
You know what I mean? But there's still so many working proxy providers. I just tend to desire 100% uptime, you know, 100% reliability, kind of right. as close to that as you can, which you just, I don't know. It's like, if you are okay with a crappy connection, then yeah, there's still Black Hat World.
Right, right.
You know, is always, that forum is always full of offers that are pretty much the cream of the crop of what you get publicly. There are resellers that purchase large IP blocks, get their own ASNs with the IP authority, so they actually right. have businesses registered, you know, legit. So
one yeah. of the things that that's eating everyone, you know, what every vertical alive right now, is synthetic identities. I mean, it's hitting everyone hard. And yeah. as you know, not all synthetic identities are created equal.
Yep.
And why don't you talk a little bit about synthetic identities and these bots?
Yeah. So when a store has a one item per person policy, they enforce it through address comparison. So if you have two orders for the same limited release product for the same name and the same address, one of them will get canceled. to evade this, people change their first. They start by changing their first name. Keep the last name. Let's just, now our family has 1,000 people at the same address.
Right. Because they're doing that on that rules based system. You know,
So they start there. You know, like from a reseller's perspective, like, okay, now I want to buy multiple. What do I do? And then it's adding apartment numbers. They call it jigging the address.
Right.
And so, yeah, then it's like false apartment numbers and random names. And then the key is for checkout, the virtual credit cards that are agnostic to the billing address and shipping address. This is privacy.com. This is, I'm not sure if American Express and Capital One are agnostic to address, but I know those are also heavily used by resellers. That's Slash App. It's a newer one.
So how are you gaming it enough to get past KYC?
Get past KYC. I think I don't have to get past KYC. I guess when KYC where?
So you want that virtual debit card. Are KYC rules in place for that or not?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say typically a lot of people are deferring to the banks as a source of trust. So it's typically the KYC will be like, okay, if you have a linkable bank through Plaid or Teller.io, then they like can say, okay, the bank trusts you, we trust you.
I gotcha. So that's the game right there.
And then ID, and then additional ID verification sometimes.
Right.
But there's a lot of modern neobanks, fintech sites that will just require a linked bank. And I actually think that for the most part works pretty well.
I agree. I do.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing is that that's really interesting. So when I talk about synthetic fraud or synthetic identities, I talk about, you know, creating the, stealing a kid's social security number or creating a social app using the algorithm and boosting, gaming the OSINT, everything else across the board until you build that full identity.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we're seeing right now is that, so you build that identity in the US and then you transfer that to the UK, to South America, someplace like that. And what's happening is, as much as you're describing, as long as the US system is recognizing it as legitimate, there's no KYC that actually happens in the UK system or in South American system. They're simply trusting that it's happened further up the chain.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting when you think about it, because once you're in, by God, you're in.
Yeah. Once you're in a bank, you're in. I think once you have a solid bank, you know, bank log, right? But those are like, 2FA is pretty good these days. 2FA is doing a lot. It was funny. I stayed in a hotel room and I left my debit card in there. And then I went to get it from the front desk. And they also had a Wells Fargo 2FA security key. I was so tempted. But I actually was like, you know, what's the fucking odds? You know, is this a real Wells Fargo? It's, you know, it's not trying to get me to plug this shit in, you know.
So getting the virtual cards and that was something that we were really interested in. How many of these damn things can you get?
So the company that gives out the most right now to just a fresh user is Slash App. Will give you 500 cards. You've got one bank account now you can have 500. You have 500 cards and they'll work with any billing address and any merchant in perpetuity. And you can you can get more if you spend a lot more. And these cards will just fucking work.
Yeah.
This spam. It's all about instant transfer. And so like, I like that. I like that. But it's just the chain of trust, super important.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Chain of trust, super important.
So that one Slash App will give you 500 brand new user, out of the gate. Yeah. They're all
they banned like Chevron because people it was authorizing for a dollar, and then people were, you know, gas is a special sort of card transaction, you know what I mean? So
right.
Other than that, you know, that but it's that kind of thing, you know, they gotta watch out for. That's, you know, a sort of thing, you know, these methods.
Right. Right.
But they watch for that. They, you know, they're on top of their transaction log. They're small. They're not that big right now. So Slash app is like, you know, I trust the people running that organization are
right.
You know,
so let me ask you, have you seen any of the retailers, the merchants, the sneaker companies, have you seen them start to try to track these cards by bin numbers and flag them like that or not?
Yeah, they'll get bins banned, but like Slash app probably has dozens of bins at this point.
Ah,
okay. You know, and there's, you know, yeah. And like, yeah, Slash app's at the point where they're processing enough volume that they're eligible for bigger contracts with right. banks and potentially with Visa or MasterCard directly. And so, yeah, I do see that, but it's not that aggressive.
Right. Right.
They're getting paid. You know what I mean? The bins get banned when there's like a one, you know, when like the $1 Chevron method.
Right.
Right. You know, or actually Chevron still gets paid there. There were, you know, if there's, there were a couple instances that, Slash app team shared with me, where a bin was banned.
Okay.
And it was never for going for limited release products. It was always some sort of referral loop.
Absolutely. You know? I can see that.
Some sort of,
you I mean, know, why, and you're loop. Right. Why would you ban the bin? Because you're making a legitimate purchase. Yeah. The company's getting paid. They're not complaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you ban that? You wouldn't.
Yeah. So I really do think that given the incentives of the retailers, they just want to stop fraud. They really right. don't care. They just want to stop chargebacks. You know, they just don't want to, you know, they don't want to lose the money that they, you know, might lose to accepting a stolen card. Right. Other than that, and they want to reduce their server expenses for when the bot attacks are very, very large. It's important that their servers don't get hit with all of that traffic. So it's like a traffic filter and then like block actual fraud. Other than that, they don't give a shit.
I mean, it makes perfect sense. You said, and here's the thing, I absolutely love our conversation. It's very refreshing to have somebody that knows what the hell they're talking about and is open about it.
Yeah,
because it's not frequent that happens. I didn't know that before we talked today. And you had said in a direct message about these sneaker shops and money laundering and organized crime.
Oh, yeah. It occurred,
when it occurred to me that when you said that, it had not hit me. But by God, that is one hell of a laundering mechanism. It absolutely is.
It's massive. It's massive.
So,
and all the resellers, I'll take cash for my shoes that I just got with my bot, you know, and then they right. go to Melrose Ave, and then.
So,
Chinese money, you know, fuck, I don't even know a few of these stores, but yeah, but you know, I went to a clothing store in Melrose. I bought a jacket. Jacket smelled like gasoline. That shit was soaked. They have the fabric absorb cocaine and they ship and then they can get it out of the fabric and then they still want to sell the clothes to get money from that. So they put it on the rack on Melrose Avenue.
So these stores that are selling these shoes like that, I just, how do you stop? Because that's what NFTs were to a large extent. I mean, that was one hell of a laundering mechanism.
As way well. More traceable, though, I'd say.
Absolutely.
That's the thing is, yeah, this is way harder to track because of the number of individual, interactions and deals that will be done locally. You know, it's about in LA, right? You know, there's a lot of people bought reselling shoes there, you know, a lot of people to buy from that'll take cash.
Yeah, that's one hell of a game.
I mean, the shoe has just been a great medium interchange. Now, the shoe market kind of sucks right now. So it's still good for laundering, but it's not, you know, it's not like, you know, it's not going crazy. You're not getting these shoes that are dropping, selling 2X.
So why is that?
The no more stimulus checks, people spending, changing how they spend. It was funny how expensive shoes were. The shoe market was so high when no one was going outside. It's kind of weird. You know, it's a speculative. everyone was speculating, you know?
Right. Right.
Pipe dreams.
A lot of pipe dreams. So now the market has stagnated a bit, slowed down. The hot item, are there any other hot items coming up other than Apple Vision right now or not?
Yeah, always. Always. There's always even stuff you don't expect. You know what I mean?
Right.
I saw this a lot during COVID, you know, patio heaters, above ground pools, you know, seasonal, right? It just kind of happens. You know, someone's supply chain fucks up and then there's money to be made.
So how do you keep track of that? How do you keep track of that, knowing when that supply chain is disrupted enough that item's going to
be. So this is what these Discord groups are really serve their purpose as sort of intelligence agencies of sorts, where you have so many eyeballs on so many different places just from people that are generally searching. And then there's a group called Banders Bounties that's quite interesting, where if you find a deal, he'll pay you a bounty and then share it with his group.
That's not bad.
And so you have all these people incentivized to search. But there's all, you can also do automated search means. The hard problem there is having a price oracle or being able to know, oh, this will flip.
Okay.
Price oracle, if it's something that already exists, and I mean by that, like, okay, here's an iPhone listed for $99.
Right.
Having the intelligence to be able to say, oh, this iPhone normally sells $999. They forgot the decimal place accidentally. That kind of thing.
Okay.
So I spent a lot of time working on that sort of technology.
I mean, you're impressive as hell. Let's be honest. I mean,
thanks. Yeah, I mean, I found my niche for sure.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
So the Apple. Oh, explain this thing to me. You're not creating an actual a traditional bot.
No.
The idea is to use AI and market it toward the individuals that are just wanting one of these items or not.
I think I'm open to people that want to purchase multiple, but I'm always going to comply with the law. And there's a law pending that might make it illegal to go to use computerized means to bypass one per person. It gets interesting though, because like average people going for these items are calling up their friends,
right?
Have old phones, they're booting up, going for these items. So where's the line? Where's the line where for like, you know, going for a release, you know what I mean? The Bots Act, the Grinch Bots Act, which is pending in Congress, it came out when the PS5s were out of stock from Congressman in New York.
Right. He got pissed off. He couldn't get one.
Yeah. Or his kid or his constituents in the upper New York State suburbs.
They didn't want to pay $1,700 for a PS5.
Yeah, so like if that passes, then I'll probably just serve people that want to. I'll just help people get one.
Okay.
But I'll do what's required. I think it should always be okay to like provide a service that does like no more than is required to get one.
Right.
You know, actually, the law, I'll be good no matter what. So you're always good with the law or without if you just go for one. Multiple, I think, is still legit right now, but you know. Either way, I'm happy with that product. I would rather. I'm more concerned about the just get one. More people just get one instead of being in the hands of resellers. Actually, just be the tool that people use to get their hands on the thing that they want.
And I mean, I mentioned that earlier. I don't have a problem. I am not angry at anybody that's using bots to get this inventory. I'm not. I mean, I've gotten my PS5. I ended up that season. I absolutely used the bots, got three of the damn things, sold two of them. That paid for my third one. I was happy, good to go, and did the same thing with the Series X and all that. I mean, I knew the game, and I was like, that's what it's going to take to get it. That's what I want to get everyone for Christmas. That's what, by God, I'm going to do. And my problem is that, like, the Grinch act that's going through, and it's liable to go through, and you're absolutely right. There has to be a line there someplace. So you're going to, if I'm able to get four or five of these things, I'm now prosecutable, even though four or five of them are going to.
Yeah. And like what means, it's also specific, right. Like using bypassing digital means or something, you know, or like, right. You know, it's like what, because it gets really weird. Like, what if it's just like I buy the phones and then like an AI uses them for me?
Right.
And it, you know, it's just, is it, can I not, it's super, you know, it's super hazy. So.
Yeah. I'm not sure why we are not holding the companies responsible, like Ticketmaster. That would seem to me, that would be the way to go. But then again, Taylor Swift, but I'm sure that Ticketmaster has, you know, some lobbying money saying, nah, we need to hit the bots instead.
It's funny. You know, I mean, we got the law against the bots, you know what I mean? It's just not enforced.
Right.
Just, we have so many laws. And like, it seems that only like certain of them have more attention and focus, right. Law enforcement than others.
I think
someone's got to be made an example of. It's not going to be hard.
It's not.
Subpoena/app. I don't know. Just like subpoena/app, or like, you know, all of privacy.com, or just go on Twitter. Like, these people are all in the open.
They absolutely are. They absolutely.
Yeah. Like, when I first encountered this industry, I was so surprised, because I was like, wait, why are all of these companies so public? This like used to never happen in public. Like,
right.
What? And the whole time I was kind of confused. And then, like, I don't know. It's like, you're legit or you're not. Okay. You know, there is a line.
Right.
There is a line.
I don't know where, we draw that and who we draw that toward. Or anything else.
Yeah, but there's some clear offenders right now. There's some clear offenders, you know, all the tickets got bought by, you know, organizations, you know.
Right.
And there's just huge industry supporting all of this, and it's a real thing, and people don't know about it, and Ticketmaster doesn't care.
Right.
So
let me ask you, you know, we've got 8,500 plus security companies, and we've got a lot of media. And Lord knows, I've been contacted the past 3 or 4 months. I've given 4 or 5 different interviews, much to the chagrin of the people interviewing me. And they've all come, called and asked basically the same question. How are criminals using AI? And my answer has been, right now, they're really not. You know, there's a lot of, yeah. So do we actually see that being used anytime soon by not only bot people, but criminals at large, to any success at all?
Yeah. Later this decade, undoubtedly.
Okay.
Undoubtedly.
I mean, that's what I think.
It's like hard right now. So like, right. The people capable of doing it are just not spending their time doing it, but eventually the tools get easy enough.
Do you think that looks like? I mean, you already talked about that when you were in the car to an extent.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like people providing resources, the fundamental resources of internet connectivity, devices, and farming them. And, you know, they'll just be a lot of, automated interaction with the web that can be directed quite easily by humans, similar to how you can tell ChatGPT something short and it can expand upon it. You know, you'll be able to give a command like create an account here.
Right.
Using this identity in text and press enter and it'll happen. So it's like, it's as if everything that people are currently using virtual assistants for, which is the, you know, nouveau term for the call center. You know what I mean? It's essentially people and put this in front of a screen, set them on the phone. anything that people are like using like call centers and virtual assistants for right now will be done by AI, and people will be able to do it using like their own like resources and stuff. So it just unlocks, like, just imagine if you're able to like tell the computer what to do.
Right.
And then like, you know, on itself, like, hey, we're here to, you know, and it'll just do it. You don't need to code. It'll actually behave like you just told a human to do that thing.
How soon do you think?
How soon? I mean, I'm doing it next year. You know, like, when is it like, but like for my niche, you know what I mean?
Right.
For checkout. When is it like general?
Yeah.
And in the public, I don't really know. I don't know if anyone, I know it's going to happen and I know it's going to be possible, but I don't know who's going to do it or what tools are going to lead to that. I can tell you undoubtedly that we're headed in that direction, but it's still early.
Right.
And more people should be spending their time on it, but you know, the longer they don't, I don't know, the more ahead I am. So
so you're going to launch this next year. It's going to be out before Apple Vision is. It's got to be
early 2024. Yeah.
So you're close, because we're getting there.
Yeah, we don't need a super intelligent AI to check out from Apple. However, you do need one to be able to check out anything on the internet, and
right.
It's now possible 100%. All of the sort of missing pieces. From a tech perspective, as well as things like, you know, I've wanted to do this for a while, but there's been some missing pieces and questions I had to answer.
Right.
Having a company like Slash App that I can trust, like my bot is not, there's no credit card form. You're going to need to have an account with something like Slash App, or I'm open to integrating with other competitors. The cards are only going to come from there. Because I know that if I ship another bot with a credit card form, it is just going to be stuffed with stolen cards. People can cash it out.
No, absolutely.
And bots today don't realize, the developers don't realize, the bots, Hey Hop Bots, KSR, Wrath Automation, Prism Technologies, all of these companies provide downloadable programs for Windows computers with where you can import a CSV of identities, shipping addresses, billing addresses, and cards, and cash them out really fast.
Right.
And they don't realize they don't log the credit card numbers because they don't want that information on their servers. But if you're also turning, people just aren't really thinking about what's going
on. So you, I'm gonna let you go in a second. So you you launch the Apple product. From there, it's just, obviously it's going to be a success because people are going to want this damn Apple. So what's the next step from there? Do you build the one that does everything?
Yeah. So it's about treating, if you get yourself stuck site by site,
right,
then you're stuck in the old model of writing the bot where the site changes its code, even one line, and you are liable to have downtime.
Right.
I think it's going to be Apple, and we're going to be testing the AI on Apple. However, it's going to be a complex release. There's like an app where you have to scan your face and shit. Like it's going to, you know.
And you have to have the Apple product to scan your face, I'm sure. maybe.
That's why I'm buying so many iPhones.
There you go. There you go. So. Look, I don't know if I'll get in trouble for saying this shit or not, but good luck.
I think that Apple will be happy.
I think so too.
This product. If I don't release this product, the scalpers win.
That's right. So you let me know.
I'm actually launching an anti-bot.
That's right. That's
all along.
See, I like that.
The anti-bot needed to be a bot. So,
and I'm going to help you.
Everyone else says, oh, go ahead.
I'm going to help you because when it's ready, I want one. All right. So that was episode number 85 of the Brett Johnson Show. Andrew Hayden. Andrew, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope everyone enjoyed listening to Andrew as much as I did talking to the man. I think he's absolutely outstanding. My name is Brett Johnson. Hey, if you enjoy the show, please subscribe. If you don't enjoy the show, and I honestly don't know why you wouldn't, if you don't enjoy the show, please subscribe. Leave me a note. Suggest people that I can bring on. If there's something you don't like about the show, let me know. I'll probably ignore it unless it's a good suggestion. At that point, I will implement it. Believe you me, I absolutely will. So please subscribe to the show. I'm trying to get the show up to where it's actually generating some income, which maybe it will, maybe it won't. You know what? If it doesn't, I'm okay. I'm still going to keep doing this show because I like to do the show. We're going to close things out. How do we close it out? Same way every single time. Stay safe out there. Stay secure. Stay vigilant. More importantly, understand this is the Brett Johnson Show. At the end of the day, just do the right damn thing. I'm Brett Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.